This is BBC Radio 4, where now we hand over to Nicholas Parsons.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented players who are going to try and pit their wits and their talent, their verbal dexterity and their knowledge of words as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And those four are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Marcus Brigstock, and seated on my left, Giles Brandreth and Lucy Beaumont. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Hayley Sterling, who's going to help me with the score. She'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we're going to begin this show with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject is St. Patrick. Tell us something about St. Patrick in this game, starting now.
When I think of St. Patrick, naturally one... That's terrible. That's awful. I would apologise.
So you thought of St. Patrick and you dried up?
Yeah, I don't know what...
Marcus, you challenged first.
Yes, there was a little bit of a hesitation.
So, Marcus, you have a correct challenge. You have a point for that, of course, and you take over the subject. And there are 56 seconds available, starting now.
St. Patrick famously drove the snakes out of Ireland in an Austin Allegro. He coaxed them in there using lumps of mice and an all-inclusive weekend in Rill. Most of them were convinced, and they had a lovely time. He is, of course, celebrated now all over the place by people wearing hats in the shape of Guinness, which they then consume in vast quantities and sing and shout at each other and generally make merry. The shamrock is associated closely with St. Patrick and indeed with Irish people, and there my knowledge.
Paul, your challenge.
So it was a hesitation.
Yes, yes. There his knowledge seems to be drying up anyway. So, Paul, take a breath. Some thought about St. Patrick and talk about him for 20 seconds available starting now.
There was a film crew filming in the middle of Ireland, and it came to lunchtime and they wondered where they should go to have their next meal. And they saw this old man walking up a lane towards them. So eventually when he reached them, they said, "Excuse me, is there a place nearby where we could have something to eat?" He said, "There's two." He said, "Which one would you recommend?" And he thought about it. He said, "Well, whichever one you went to, you wish you'd gone to the other."
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Paul Merton who's now in the lead. And Marcus, we'd actually like you to begin the next round. TV dinners. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Everybody must eat, particularly in the evening, and that includes transvestites. Because if they're not given dinner, then they will get very hungry and their dresses will no longer fit them, and they will be the laughingstock of the club where they may be performing that evening, which is not the aim, of course. The other version of TV dinners, I believe, is the one where you consume a meal in front of the television, and you can tell how good the programme is by how much of what you...
Lucy, you challenged.
Can you have how?
Yes.
Yes, how much? Oh. Well, listen. Okay. So you've got a correct challenge, Lucy, and you've got a point for that. And there are 28 seconds still available. Tell us something about TV dinners starting now.
TV...
Who is the villain of the piece?
It certainly wasn't me.
But your light came on, Giles.
No, 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 that's a mistake. A total mistake. I was just sort of a little bit carried away by the beauty of Lucy, who is my granddaughter.
What you were actually doing was you were...
And I was wanting to encourage her. I was just interrupting to say the idea is that when he says speak, you speak. But apart from that, I withdraw entirely.
Yes, I won't charge that against you. 26 seconds available for you, Lucy, and the subject is TV dinners, and you start now.
I like having TV dinners very much. I've had them since I was a child. I don't see a problem with TV dinners, really. The problem more is the TV rather than...
Marcus, challenge.
Yes, a repetition of problem.
There was too many problems.
She's also in my school report.
Sir Marcus, a correct challenge and 17 seconds are still available. TV dinners starting now.
My favourite TV dinner is macaroni cheese. I make it very thick so that I can use my hands to eat it and not take my eyes off what's on the screen for even a second, because The One Show is an unmissable, entertaining, delightful evening.
Right, so Marcus got an extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and he's moving to the lead at the end of that round. Lucy, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is meeting your match. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Yes, I can.
don't respond to me. Just go on the subject. Marcus actually challenged you, but I'm not going to allow it. I didn't allow it. I didn't allow Giles' challenge early on. I'm not going to allow Marcus's. Gosh, that was 9 seconds, was it? So the 51 seconds are still available.
Okay.
It's somebody is meeting your match, starting now.
Meeting my match. I have done this on two occasions, actually, in my life that I can remember. The first was when I was working as an assistant to a woman and we were selling chunks of Cathedral City Mature Lighter in various UK supermarket car parks.
Giles, your challenge.
I felt there was a bit of a hesitation.
I think there was a full stop.
Well,
I was reliving it, you see.
No.
It felt longer, funnily enough.
Giles, you have a correct challenge, a point. 26 seconds are still available for you on meeting your match, starting now.
I met my match when I first turned up at the House of Commons and found seated on the opposition front bench a Mr. John Prescott, now a Lord, former Deputy Prime Minister, amateur pugilist, the man who uses the English language like a Rubik Cube. And as I rose to say a few words, I realised I'd met my match, for he began to shout, "Woolly jumper!" in a coarse, crude, vicious way. I was thrown by this, expecting to find the shade of...
So Giles Brandreth was in speaking to Whistle Wind and gained that extra point, and he's moved forward. He's in second place with Paul behind Marcus Brigstock, and Lucy's got a point as well. And Giles, it's now your turn to begin. The subject is... I don't know whether it applies to you or not. Teacher's pet. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
At my school, all the teachers had pets. Mr. Brown, the headmaster, had a bulldog, but the one I preferred was Miss Phillips's chihuahua. We all loved petting that.
Poor challenge.
Repetition of wah.
Actually, chihuahua is a word.
Is it?
That is a word. But it was such a lovely challenge, I think you deserve a bonus point for that. But actually, I thought you were going to challenge him because he said, ha-ha. Now, that was two words.
Ah, was it? I missed that.
We missed that one. But it's too late now?
Too
everybody.
Late now, yeah.
So, Giles, it's still with you, 51 seconds, and you've got a point for being interrupted, of course. Teacher's pet, starting now.
I was a bit of a teacher's pet because, of course, I was in charge of the menagerie, and particularly Mr. Robson, who was the geography master.
Paul Challenge.
Well, it's a bit harsh, but we have had Mr. before.
Oh, yes. No, fair enough.
Yes.
Mister's an absolute repetition.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so honest the way you play the game.
Yeah.
So, Paul, a correct challenge. And there are still 44 seconds for you to tell us something about teacher's pet, starting now.
I'd failed my algebra test for the last time. As I was led down the steps that led... Oh, no.
I think you've got it back again.
A repetition of lead.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
Lead poisoning.
39 seconds still available. Giles, teacher's pet, starting now.
I don't think I have mentioned Master Pettigrew, because he was a charming person who kept a kangaroo with a little Joey tucked in the pouch. And this was around the back of the bike sheds where I spent a lot of time, but that's a different story. Anyway, as the teacher's pet, I would have all this food to give out to various animals. I was particularly good, if I may say so, with the little marmosets. They took to me. They belonged to all the people who worked in the refectory, a lovely crew of catering folk who were very much engaged in keeping the teacher's pet.
So, Giles. Brandreth was then speaking as a whistlewind, gained that extra point, and he's now gone into the lead, one ahead of all the others. And, Paul, we're back with you to begin. The subject now is Catch 22, a phrase that was coined in a book, I believe, but will you talk on it starting now?
Catch 22 was a novel written by Joseph Heller. His first attempt, I believe, at certainly it was one of his initial... What's the matter with
Marcus challenge?
Yes, hesitation.
Yes,
hesitation.
Absolutely.
Ernest hesitation. Yes. 52 seconds are available, 52. Marcus. And it's Catch 22 starting now.
My English teacher gave me a wonderful opportunity. She said I would be allowed to read Catch 22 for the second time, provided I never finished it. This made for quite a problem for me, and is a very clever reference if you've read the book, which clearly nobody has, because it's tedious and difficult, and I'll be honest and say I never got there. I believe a Catch 22 is when you have something that you're supposed to do and can't, or if you do, then it undoes. Like, for example, trying to talk coherently on a book.
Giles challenge.
Do four times.
Yes, it was do, yes. A lot of doo-doos there.
Yeah. I know.
No, he let the first one...
No, it's all right.
He let the first and the second go, but he challenged on the third.
He even buzzes in when he goes to see crooners singing.
So, Giles, the correct challenge. 21 seconds available. Catch 22 starting now.
I'm anticipating what Paul was hoping to tell us about the original book being published in one chapter form in a magazine when it was called Catch 18. But another novelist by the name of Uris had published a similar work of art, including a number very comparable to that in his title. And consequently, Catch 22 was the one chosen by...
So Giles Brandreth was again speaking again as the whistle went and gained that extra point. He's moved forward in his position as the leader of the pact. And Marcus, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is beatboxing. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game starting now?
It's rather intimidating, of course, talking about beatboxing in front of one of the country's greatest beatboxers, Mr. Nicholas Parsons. I would love to be able to demonstrate my beatboxing skills. However, repeating noises is very much what it's about. If I went and didn't repeat any of them, they would simply be sounds. And I'm very relieved that nobody buzzed in, although it would have enhanced the effect of that very brilliant beatboxing that I was doing just at that point. It is quite incredible when you see people making the sound of an entire drum kit.
Giles challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, and sound.
Yes.
You just had him on the people. And so another point to you, Giles. And you've got 24 seconds. Can you tell us something about beatboxing?
I can tell you, you can't beat boxing. I know jiu-jitsu is fun, wrestling has its moments, but I really believe that beatboxing is something that is done for musical purposes, whereas beating a box is an unusual way of packing things. I love beatboxing, and I find that somebody who is interested, as I am, in the environment will take all the old cardboard from the house and beat it into submission.
So Giles again was speaking as the whistle went, as he increased his lead at the end of the round of all the others. Lucy, we're back with you to begin. And the subject is your recommended daily amount. And 60 seconds if you want it, starting now.
I always thought I understood what the recommended daily allowance is. And then I went on a hen weekend recently and one of the girls got up on the Saturday morning and drank a bottle of wine and said, don't judge me because it's got plums and berries in it. Which I didn't. I do think it's unfair that the whole country has the same recommended daily allowance because really I think it should be done with region. So, for instance, somewhere on the northeast coast should be allowed to have mushy peas and any sort of tinned goods, whereas somewhere a bit warmer, maybe the Dorset coast, maybe it should up the limit and they should maybe have to have a sort of...
Marcus challenge.
Repetition of maybe.
Yes, you did have a lot of maybes there, my love.
Yeah, I do in general,
So, Marcus, you've got in... But you did go for over 30 seconds, 38 seconds. And there are 22 left, therefore. Mm. And Marcus, the subject is your recommended daily amount, starting now.
I feel particularly bad about buzzing in because, of course, the recommended daily amount of maybes is 3, which is exactly how many Lucy did. So that is in compliance with health guidelines. However, the recommended daily amount of pasties when I lived in Cornwall was 7. And I found that excessive, hence carrying around a special...
So, at the end of that round, Marcus was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's creeping up on our leader, who is still Giles Brandreth. And then comes Paul Merton and Lucy Beaumont in that sequence. Giles, we're back with you to begin. I'm sure this subject's been chosen especially for you. The Honourable Gentleman. Will you talk about the Honourable Gentleman starting now?
I don't know many of them, but I was introduced to the phrase when I became a member of the House of Commons, and it was explained to me that MPs, when they encounter one another, do not shake hands. And this goes back to the origin of the Honourable Member and, in fact, the beginnings of chivalry. Because when people encountered one another in medieval times, they would not embrace physically with their fingers because it was important to show that you had either a sword or a dagger concealed. As at the Mother of Parliaments, we are honourable members.
Paul Tallant, yes.
There was a bit of a hesitation.
There was a hesitation.
There was.
I know.
Yes.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have buzzed. It's one of the things I look for.
Another point for you, Paul. And the subject is the Honourable Gentleman. 28 seconds.
Well, I'm never going to manage 28 seconds. I'm going to manage 4 at the moment. Let's try. 28 seconds.
Go on then. The Honourable Gentleman starting now.
I looked into Sherlock Holmes's eyes. I realised that one of us wouldn't leave the room that night. Dr. Watson moved slowly towards me. In his hand was a revolver. I noticed that placed deep within the barrel of that gun was a silver bullet, the same that had killed my grandfather on the moor some 20 years before. As I took a slug from whiskey, I realised that my two assailants were about to attack me once more. I said to them, "You must be joking, because I have here something that will repel you. It is the..."
So Paul kept going, so the whistle went. Gained that extra point for doing so. He's equal with Marcus in second place. Giles is in the lead, and Lucy's bringing up the rear. Right, Paul, we're back with you to begin.
Yes.
And the subject is something I think you know something about. Visual comedy. Well, you've got 60 seconds if you want it, starting now.
I suppose one of the earliest jokes known to humanity would be visual comedy. I can imagine Stone Age man walking around and suddenly getting laughs from his neighbours because he attempts to run a bit faster than them. Visual comedy appeals a great deal to children. They like watching adults do silly things, falling over in the street, tripping over a paving stone. A toddler will...
Marcus Challenge.
A repetition of over.
Yes, of
yes,
course.
Falling over, yeah. Tripping over. Right, Marcus, well listened. You have a point, of course, and there are 39 seconds still available. Visual comedy starting now.
Only the people seated here in the radio theatre are able to enjoy the fantastic feast of visual comedy that we're all performing for them at this very instant.
Paul Challenge.
It's not going over very well. But they can see it, but... But we don't know of what.
So have you got a challenge within the rules of
justice? No, I'm afraid I haven't. No, sorry.
Well, we enjoyed the interruption.
Yes, so did I, funnily enough. It was
a very creative one. Give him a bonus point for that. Marcus was interrupted. He gets a point, and he keeps the subject, and there are 29 seconds available, Marcus. Visual comedy starting now.
On one occasion, as I walked into a car park at the back of Waterloo, I actually slipped on a banana skin. I cannot tell you how delighted I was when this first happened, and then how absolutely devastated I was when I...
Paul Challenge.
Do we have two absolutely?
Absolutely, yes,
oh, yes.
You did, indeed.
Absolutely.
So, well, listen, Paul.
There was no one there to see it.
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Heartbroken. Also my collarbone.
It could be on... You could have mentioned CCTV, but that would be repetition,
yes.
So you would have...
Did you damage anything?
The banana was ruined.
Right, Paul, there are 15 seconds still available. Visual comedy starting now.
The art of motion pictures, first put before the public round about 1895, consisted an awful lot of visual comedy. There was a gardener watering the garden with a hose...
Giles Challenge?
Gardener watering a garden?
No!
What was it?
What do you mean, no?
No, it wasn't. There wasn't a repetition there.
No, it wasn't. Come on, think of it. What was it?
It was a repetition of motion picture. There was a repetition of...
What are you getting this from the psychic? What's this one speaking? You got Hiawatha telling you this. What's going on here? Is there anybody there?
Yes, there is, but I can't remember the exact word that was repeated, so I have to withdraw.
I think it's a very good idea.
This game gets easier as you get older. Yeah.
If the issue is a repetition of motion, you could try Imodium.
Right.
Other corks are available.
So, Dr. Marcus Wigstock's advice?
I've lowered the tone, Nicholas, and I'm sorry.
You've raised it, I'm not.
Right, 6 seconds are still available, Paul. Visual comedy starting now.
Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. These are the finest exponents of visual comedy.
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, and he's moved forward. He's now equal with Charles Brandreth in the lead, and they're just 1 point ahead of Marcus Brigstocke and a few more ahead of Lucy Beaumont. And Marcus, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is baby boomers. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
After the war, everybody was tremendously horny because it was exciting that something so horrific had ended and there was time once again to embrace each other in a...
Paul challenge.
Is this true, Nicholas?
Yes.
Was it such a relief that the Kaiser had been defeated?
I don't know why you clapped that. Right, there we are. No, you've got to laugh if this is taken against yourself, but it was well done, Paul. Very funny. right, so baby boomers. I don't know where we are now.
Yeah. Everybody, we're back in 1945 and everybody's horny.
Who challenged who?
I challenged.
And what was it? Yeah,
it was checking verification.
Give him a bonus point because he got a big laugh.
Seeking verification.
Marcus was interrupted. He gets a point.
Yep.
And he says, still got baby boomers. And 48 seconds available starting now.
The American satirist P.J. O'Rourke has recently written a book on the baby boomer generation. He talked about the fact that they had invented triathlons. When they realised they couldn't outrun their problems, they thought if they added swimming and cycling as well, perhaps that would help. He's a brilliant man. The baby boomers are the generation who are...
Lucy challenge.
I think...
Hesitation, please.
Hesitation.
It was a bit, wasn't it?
No, definite hesitation.
Yeah.
I've got to take over now, haven't I?
What's that?
I forgot about that. I forget that if you... Then you have to... Anyway.
Oh, yes.
All right.
There are 28 seconds, and we're going to hear from you on baby boomers starting now.
Baby Boomers is also the name of a brand of baby boomerangs. I don't know whether you've come across baby boomerangs before.
Challenge, you've challenged.
The boomerang came back and hit her in the face.
Yes, it did. I was loving to, waiting for her to carry on, but actually, because I'd like to hear a bit more from her. But it was a correct challenge, Giles, so we have to give it to you. And you've got baby boomers in 19 seconds, starting now.
I am a baby boomer, a direct result, in fact, of the 1947 fuel crisis. My parents were nervous that winter, and it was very frosty, and consequently, 9 months after an amusing... I was just thinking this story could actually kill my mother. She's 99, and this could tip her over the edge. And what a way to go.
No, I think she'd be rather excited by it.
Well, that
broadcast
was...
Broadcast around the world.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. I shouldn't have hesitated.
No.
And the point is, they were at it like rabbits, and I'm the result.
Paul, you've got him in 3 seconds to go.
Oh.
Baby boomers starting now.
When I think of the phrase baby boomers, I come...
Well, we're moving into the final round. I expected more than that, actually. And I'll give you the situation as we do. Lucy Beaumont, who hasn't played the game before, she's trailing a little, but it's a lovely fourth place she's in. And then just ahead of her is Marcus Brigstocke, and 1 point ahead is Charles Brandreth, and 2 points ahead of him is Paul Merton. And Lucy, it's actually your turn to begin. Tutankhamun. You have 60 seconds if you want it, and your time starts now.
Tutankhamun is a bit confusing, because it's actually spelt Tutankhamun, isn't it? My only sort of real sort of experience with ancient Egypt has been a crazy golf tournament that I went on in a caravan site near Withernsey. If anyone knows this, King Tut's Put. Shouldn't be confused with the one in Australia, the King Tut's Put. The
Marcus, you challenged.
Yes, there was a... Even though it's a different course entirely, there was a repetition.
Jazz has just pointed out one was with one T and one was with two Ts.
A strange way of spelling king.
There's still 20 seconds for you, Lucy. Tutankhamun, starting now.
The other thing that I know about Tutankhamun is that not so long ago, the museum where his mask is buried and on display as well, the beard of Tutankhamun fell off one night and what...
So Lucy started with the subject and she got her only whistle point of the show. Well, the final situation is Lucy, who, as I said, hasn't played the game before. She finished in fourth place, which I think you realise, but it was a lovely fourth place, Annie. And equal in second place were Marcus Brigstock and Giles Brandreth, but 2 points ahead of them was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are our winner this week. To say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Marcus Brigstock, Giles Brandreth and Lucy Beaumont. I think Hayley Sterling, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle with such style. We're indebted to our producer, Victoria Lloyd. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're grateful to this lovely audience here, who've cheered us on our way magnificently and made it feel very much a corporate event. So from our audience, from the team, from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you. Tune in again the same time next week when we play Just a Minute.
And next Monday at the same time, Paul Merton, Lisa Tarbuck, Tim Rice and Graham Norton will be taking the Just a Minute Challenge.